You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathy Earth Radio and Occult Health News. I hope you're doing well today. Before we begin talking about STDs, or as we used to call them, venereal diseases on the rise, especially among certain aspects or segments of the population, let's talk about the website. It's Naturopathic Earth. Go check it out. Also, as you know, I am a certified wellness coach. So if any of you are in the need to lose some weight, please contact me. We do have a Patreon account in which you can donate some of your hard-earned money to keep this website going and this podcast going as well. So I'd appreciate that. When you are listening to this podcast, assuming you're listening to it the day it's released, I'm going to be in Canada. I will be in Canada, far away, over in Nova Scotia and Newfoundland. For those of you who don't know Canadian geography too well, which I don't blame you because most of Americans, we really don't keep up with geography. Newfoundland is off the far, far eastern coast of North America. Close to Greenland. So think of Maine, New Hampshire, New England, that region, and it's going to be the Canadian provinces north of that. The land of Sarah McLachlan, if you know her music. So I am over there while you are listening to this podcast. I decided to take a trip on my lonesome, on my own, to do a little rumination and retrospection, because it's always good to do that. I'm also working on my book. So this is a good time for me to do that. So yes, that is where I'm at right now. All right, let's talk about STDs. Okay, so we're going to talk about sexually transmitted diseases and how they're on the up and up. We're going to be gleaning from one of my favorite watchdog organizations. The CDC released a study in October of last year discussing how they are at an all-time high. So it says more than 2 million cases of chlamydial infections, gonorrhea, and syphilis were reported in the United States in 2016, the highest number ever, according to the CDC's annual Sexually Transmitted Disease Surveillance Report. Chlamydia trachomatis infections were the biggest offender, with about 1.6 million cases diagnosed last year. And with chlamydia and gonorrhea and syphilis, you can get these over and over again. An antibiotic will knock them out, but you can get them multiple times in your life. The CDC said almost 470,000 cases of gonorrhea were also reported, along with nearly 28,000 cases of primary and secondary syphilis. These record levels of STDs in the U.S. have CDC leadership concerned about how best to curb this trend. Quote, increases in STDs are a clear warning of a growing threat, close quote, says Jonathan Merman, MD, director of the CDC's National Center for HIV, AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention. Well, I'm sure they're going to try to work up some vaccine for that, no doubt. Quote, STDs are a persistent enemy, growing in number and outpacing our ability to respond, close quote. STD rates accelerate in multiple populations. So chlamydial infection rates were highest among adolescent and young adult females. So teenagers, college kids, females. Populations traditionally targeted for routine chlamydia screening. So with chlamydia and gonorrhea, to a certain extent, the classic symptom is the drip. You're going to have painful discharge dripping from the urethra. And so that can be clinically pretty easily diagnosed. However, spikes in syphilis and gonorrhea cases that were seen among certain populations in 2016 were not anticipated. Although the number of newly diagnosed cases of gonorrhea rose in both men and women last year, men saw the steepest increase at 22%. The CDC said research indicates a large portion of these new cases occurred among men who have sex with men. MSM. Because that stands for men with sex with men. Yeah. This trend is particularly alarming, the agency noted, considering the growing threat of drug resistance to the only remaining treatment regimen recommended for gonorrhea, dual therapy with ceftriaxone and azithromycin. Those are two antibiotics, EPAC. Yeah, see, I mean, we're always one mega bacterial strand away from certain cataclysmic death. I mean, this is, we've talked about this going back to the probiotic episode, episode two, how we're overprescribed antibiotics, and this is leading to drug resistance. So when it comes to gonorrhea and CLAP and syphilis, we only have one line of antibiotic resistance left or defense before we're screwed. And if you guys don't know, untreated chlamydia and gonorrhea in women can lead to a condition called pelvic inflammatory disease. And with PID, that can lead to infertility. It essentially scars up and causes the uterus and mostly the fallopian tubes to develop adhesions, which make it harder for conception and then implantation of the baby. So that's the major problem with those. Now, the good news about these bacterial ones is that they're not the gift that keeps on giving like the viral ones, in particular herpes. So that's the good news about it. But this is definitely not good news. So women and young people typically have them, but now we're seeing more among gay men. And of course, we know the HIV rate is highest among gay men and in the African-American population as well. Syphilis rates increased by 17% overall from 2015 to 2016, with most of these primary and secondary cases occurring among men, almost 90%, especially gay, bisexual, and other MSMs, men having sex with men. Also, half of MSM diagnosed with syphilis were also living with HIV infection, which represents an opportunity for healthcare professionals to integrate HIV and other STD prevention and care services for these patients. Yeah, so maybe these guys with HIV, they just continue to have unprotected sex and that's how they contract it, or they just have very, what they call hyper promiscuity. That would be a good episode to do on the sexual habits of gay men. I mean, they are, if you look at the statistics, these are just the statistics. They have a very, very high rate of hyper promiscuity, more than, I mean, let's say the stereotypical whore in a high school or college. They sleep with a lot of different men, and many times they don't use protection. Additionally, there was a 35% increase in the rate of syphilis among women and a 27% increase in congenital syphilis during this period. Those figures are especially lamentable given that congenital syphilis is readily preventable through routine screening and timely treatment of pregnant women. All right. So family physician Shannon Dowler, MD, Associate Chief Quality Officer for Mission Health in Asheville, North Carolina, told the CDC that one of the challenges with chlamydial infection that it's often asymptomatic, so patients can carry and share the infection without knowing it. So the common thing is you get the drip, but not always. We cover this in sex ed. All the well-known STDs can be asymptomatic, and especially in women, it's much more difficult to diagnose if they have it than in men, because in men, of course, the genitalia is external. So if you have herpes, ulcers, that develop, you know, when you get herpes or you have the drip or you have the genital warts and all those things that HPV gives you, you can see it very clearly. But in a woman, since the vulva is really the only external part of the genitalia and the rest of it's in the vagina, it could be hidden. All those telltale signs could be hidden. So it's harder to find it or diagnose it in women. So, quote, young adults have more extensive sexual networks, so the proliferation of infection is more rapid, says Dowler. Also, young women are particularly susceptible to infection because of physiological differences during adolescence. I would also add, too, that, I mean, statistically, women have a much higher rate of contracting an STD in heterosexual sex, because, of course, they are the recipient of the act, right? They receive the semen of the man, and they are essentially a repository of the fluid. So, as a whole, in heterosexual sex, The females are much, much higher rate of getting it. Now, in homosexual sex, as they mentioned, it's typically the receiver of the act, but both partners could get it, but definitely the receiver. And that goes for anal sex, too. If you, whoever is the receiver of anal sex, either hetero or homosexual activity, much higher rate of getting all the STDs. Despite making up only a quarter of the sexually active population, young adults account for half of all STDs. Therefore, screening is critical in this population. So they make up a quarter of the population, but half of the STDs. Quote, also, and this is Dowler, adolescents and young adults face barriers to accessing care that adults do not. Confidentiality concerns, cost of healthcare, transportation, and developing health literacy make it particularly challenging, she said. Dowler recommended family physicians set aside at least a minute or two with every adolescent patient to discuss topics such as sex. Quote, many studies show that gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer youth are particularly vulnerable to dating violence and sexually transmitted infections. So knowing where a patient risk lies is important, close quote. Dowler also suggested family physicians familiarize themselves with pop culture, how social media impacts sexual networks, colloquial expressions they might not have heard before, such as Netflix and chill, and which of their patients are part of the vulnerable population. In a second, we're going to talk about the rise of STDs in elderly people, but I want to finish on this thought about the HPV. So Dowler said family physicians have to be comfortable talking about sex with patients and having open, non-judgmental dialogue about an individual risk factor. So you can't be like, oh my God, you're such a whore. How are you sleeping with everybody? No, we have to be non-judgmental. The HPV vaccine is still not being given to enough young teens, says Dowler, said family physicians should continue to create a dialogue with these patients and their families about the safety and efficacy of the vaccine. Yeah, go back to that episode I did, I think it's in the 50s, about the 11 reasons why you should not take the HPV vaccine. And I recently posted something on Instagram, a great picture of all the reasons why you should not. See, this is not the road we want to go down, is the HPV vaccine. But she says, quote, the increase in head and neck cancers in younger men and women from HPV infections is critically important in the message of HPV vaccine uptake, close quote. Head and neck cancers. So this is something I think I mentioned probably in the one about the HPV, is that we are having a precipitous rise in throat oral cancers because of fellatio. Fellatio is causing this uptake. So if somebody already has the virus and they're fellating somebody, not to get graphic here, but they're fellating somebody who already has the HPV virus, I mean, they can pass it on and increase your chances of getting the throat cancer. So, I mean, this is a major problem. I guess we can thank Bill Clinton for popularizing fellatio in the late 90s with Monica Lewinsky, and that's when all the rainbow parties were coming out on the news about that. But HPV vaccine's really not the way to go. I mean, there is a very high rate of premature ovarian failure. There are people who have died from it that have had blood clots and strokes and paralysis and there's a host of issues. Go back to that episode. It's probably best to go back to that. She says, when I meet with teens, I try to tell stories about real people and how STDs impacted their lives, and I have a few main points. You need to have an adult dialogue partner to talk about these things with, and in a perfect world, it's your parent. You can get many infections from oral and anal sex, which a lot of teens don't seem to understand, and be open and honest with your family doctor no matter what the topic. All these things will help you stay healthy. Yes. Yes, they will. Okay. So let's take a quick break and then we're going to talk about people getting it on over in the old age home. All right, let's talk about the elderly really, really fast. This is a stat that I used to tell my students all the time that used to really, really blow their mind. But we're going to be gleaning from the Huffington Post here, Sex and Seniors, STDs, a New Reality for the Elderly. All right, so the STD rate among elderly is very, very high now. Statistically, between 2007 and 2011, chlamydia infections among Americans 65 and over increased by 31% and syphilis by 52%. Most caregivers are surprised because they never want to imagine the image of old people having sex, and they think, oh, I guess once you're 50 and menopausal, you never have sex. Well, how did this happen? How did this rate happen? There's a couple of reasons. I think the main reason is that even though you're an older man, you still have a sex drive. There's still some testosterone. And now with the erectile dysfunction drugs like Viagra and Cialis and all these, you see the men taking these pills. Plus, they're surrounded by menopausal women who can't get pregnant. And a lot of these women are using progesterone and estrogen creams that help them get aroused and make sex more enjoyable because it's not as dry and irritable. Also, what you have is that a lot of these old age homes, there's less men. And so, like, my mom lives in a retirement community. And I see it there and I ask her questions about it. And I mean, there are couples. There are, it's just like high school. It's funny. It's like, my mom would be like, you see that lady over there, the one in the dress? She's a whore. She sleeps with all the men. That over there, she's a flirt. That one is giving the other guy marijuana. I mean, it's like a freaking high school. But you'll see these couples, and then a lot of women, the older women, they really don't want to be having sex necessarily, but given the disproportionate preponderance of men or women over men in old age homes, there's a lot more women than there's men. Some of these women, it's just like high school, right? They're feeling pressure to do things that they might not otherwise want to do. And in other cases, they just want to do it because they're like, I'm 65. I still want to have sex. So I think it's both. I think you see these men, when they have relationships, their boyfriend, girlfriend, a geriatric man and geriatric woman, they're in a relationship and the guy's taking Cialis and he's having erections and he wants to have sex. I think sometimes you see the girlfriend in this scenario, sometimes they're wanting to have sex too because they still like sex, right? Especially with the creams and the lubricants. But sometimes they don't want to because they just don't want to. And so you see a lot of unprotected sex going on in the old age homes because honestly they think, well, we can't get pregnant. And then STDs typically are not on the forefront of their minds when you're 75. So they don't understand how they're just transmitting possible STDs to other people. I mean, and statistically, 27% of all HIV cases in America are people 50 and over. Now, that statistic doesn't account if it's homosexual or heterosexual sex, but all the STDs are increasing their numbers in the older population. The other thing is that older people now are using online dating like Match and plenty of Fish and to meet people, and they really don't know their new partner's sexual histories, or they don't even ask about it. Also, the old people, a lot of their immune systems are weakened because as the older we get, our immune system gets weakened, especially if we don't biohack it, like with vitamin C and vitamin D and probiotics and all these things. And so, for example, HPV, as I mentioned in that HPV vaccine episode, most strains of HPV are knocked out by our immune system naturally. But when you're an older person, you might not knock it out. The other thing is seniors really don't have a lot of discussions. People aren't talking to them about using condoms and having safe sex etiquette. So you don't hear that as often. So, I mean, these are all some reasons why you see a higher rate of STDs among the older populations. It's a little funny, but just the imagery, but it's still something that we need to address from a public policy, public health concern. Okay, so the last things I want to mention here is a lot of this can be attributed, especially in the younger population, with the Tinder world that we live in now. So I've mentioned in previous episodes, I think the ones on dating or sex, that when I was in high school and college, I wasn't getting laid, okay, because I was overweight. But in college, really, Yeah, I think I had two partners before I met my ex-wife, and I was with her for 19 years. But my point is, in the olden days, you had to put in your time, right? You'd meet a girl, and maybe you do first base, second base kind of thing for like 6-7 months, and then eventually you guys might have premarital sex, and that was the way it works. But during that time, you got to know the girl before you had the sex, and then the sex, you know, of course, makes you stupid and blinds you, and all the oxytocin and dopamine are released. But in the Tinder world that we live in, because all of religion and morality has essentially been thrown out the window with Tinder and Bumble and all these hookup apps, and then Hollywood reinforcing the promiscuity and the immorality, now it's very common for couples. And I've seen this even with my own recent dating in the last 2-3 months, and just anecdotal stories that when I talk to these women or people I know who are dating of all ages, you see a lot of people hooking up within the first date to the third date. And that is the norm now. That is the norm. And so I think that has something to do with the rise in the STDs. Now, in the sex ed that I teach in high school, the official statistic is 1 in 4 teenagers have an STD and 1 in 2 adults have an STD. So it is very prevalent. So statistically speaking, if you've had sex with 2 people and you're an adult, you have an STD. Now, many times this can be the benign forms of HPV, which I've already mentioned can be knocked out. And it might not be one of the big ones, one of the viral ones like herpes, or it's not one of the bacterial ones like syphilis, gonorrhea, and all those. But it still is alarming. So I think that's one of the reasons. Now you have the hookup mentality. People not divulging that they have STDs. Sometimes, as I mentioned, like with a female genitalia, there are men and women who have an STD that don't know. We teach in sex ed that you should be getting tested between every partner, and hopefully you're not being promiscuous and sleeping with like 6 people in 2 months, because you're not going to be able to track down who gave it to you. But assuming you're in like short-term monogamous relationships, you really should get tested between each relationship to see if you developed an STD. And if you do develop an STD, you'll be able to track it down to who gave it to you. So those are keys. So I think that's one of the problems is the Tinder world. And then in the gay world, the gay world has always been an area of concern when it comes to STDs and a lot of the other behaviors that actually shorten the life expectancy of gay men quite a bit. And maybe we'll have an episode on that later on. But there's just very risky behavior among the homosexual gay population. And that's one of the reasons why it's increasing there. And then again, with the older geriatrics, yeah, we've already talked about the reasons there. So STDs are definitely on the rise. Of course, like I teach in sex ed, there's this mantra that we got to repeat at the beginning of the 2-week seminar. It always is like, abstinence is the best policy, but if you're going to have sex, use 2 forms of contraceptives, right? A condom and then another form, like one of the ones that the women can use. So of course, condoms are the best at preventing STDs, and we should try to use those. But as we've all probably experienced, in the heat of passion, sometimes you don't want to use a condom or you forget to put it on. And so things happen, but just get tested as often as you can, even if you're married, because you never know. I mean, your partner could be cheating on you, or maybe you did get an STD and you're just asymptomatic and you're giving it to your partner, or you gave it to your partner and you might not even know. So even when you're married, you should still get periodically tested, not as often perhaps as if you're single. But you should get tested, and just don't mix in the alcohol and the drugs when it comes to dating, because as you know, doing those things lowers our inhibition and we're more likely to get in situations where we do have unprotected sex. All right, guys. So the last thing is, please subscribe to this podcast, tell other people about it, and please post a review for Confessions of an Obese Child, Kate's Apothecary, and MPE Radio and Cold Health News. I would appreciate it greatly. Until next time, guys, take care. God bless.
Thank you for listening to MPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at MPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.